And it is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com. He is the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. GM, how are you today?
Outstanding.
Good.
Yes.
All right.
I'm always outstanding.
I know. I'd like a change up every now and then. Tell us when you're feeling gloomy. We'd appreciate
it.
Oh,
no gloom. No time for gloom.
You're going to ask me how I'm doing?
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm having a good day. I'm a sore, though, because I was on the battle ropes this morning at the gym. And as I was on the battle ropes and doing, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff in my gym.
On the Twitter voting,
I have not put up a poll.
We need to put up a poll. Who really believes Jared has ever touched a battle rope in his life?
Now, I'll tell you this right now. The fine folks at Get Fit Anytime on 8th Avenue will back up my claim of doing the battle ropes and how hard that stuff really is. And then I got my yoga in after that. So I've been trying to do yoga, but I've told you about yoga classes, right? How I don't do the classes?
You just go there to see the ladies.
No, I don't go anywhere.
Yes, you do.
I do it at my house. I got the yoga DVD from Best Buy. And I do the yoga DVD because I'm not flexible enough to do the actual yoga in the class because then I would embarrass myself. So that's, you know, the Jared Stillman health update of the day. But we've got a ton of stuff to get into today. We're pretty much going to be all hockey today because there's a lot of hockey to get to. We'll have some football mixed in. Chris Sanders will join us later this hour. But the expansion draft is tonight, Floyd, and we will finally find out if James Neal is officially going to the Vegas Golden Knights or where he's going to end up, etc. Is it Colton Sissons? Is it Pontus Aubrey? But we will learn tonight. And the thing that I find to be really incredible as I was kind of going over all this today was how much I feel like people in this town actually care about this. I mean, I feel like people in Nashville are actually legitimately interested in the expansion draft. And the number one reason that they are, without a doubt in my mind, is because they got so pumped up from the Preds run and so into the Preds and so excited about the Preds that they're like, okay, what's next for the Preds? Expansion draft, all right. But the people in this town seem fired up about it. What do you make of kind of the excitement around the expansion draft?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I would guess people would be excited to see what happens with Neal. I don't know how this whole thing's going to work, but I assume that, you know, they'll start at the top and kind of work through their picks. Mm-hmm. In which case, if Neal's the one that is taken, I would imagine he would be one of the top two or three picks. After that's over, after he's taken, then I think it's probably...
Click.
Yeah. See ya. Onto there. Or you go onto the awards program.
Well, they're mixing
the awards program's on there, too.
They're mixing them in and out in this crazy, kooky way. That's going to set me off a wall, and I don't want to do that at 2 o'clock. I cannot do 4 hours of complaining about how stupid it is that the NHL is mixing their award show in with their expansion draft. But
I think you probably hit it on the head. I mean, they're going to try to throw those two things together and, you know, skyrocket the ratings and then give us something to sell next year.
Hey, our award show last year did a 2.4. Buy ads for our award show next year. Well, but you were unveiling a team during the award show. It's like the nightly news during the NHL Stanley Cup final. They renamed it nightly, N-I-T-E-L-Y, as opposed to N-I-G-H-T-L-Y, because by doing that, it, you know, allows for the, it's rated differently or whatever. It's the kooky things that TV executives do. But to the actual expansion draft, I really think people care here. Like, I really think they care about what happens to the Predators next. And we've always talked about how, like, that one playoff run was going to be something that would energize this town whenever it came, would energize this town for hockey, so that it was more than just, I enjoy going to the game and I enjoy seeing Nash fall from the ceiling and I enjoy, you know, all the different things they do, where it was actually going to be about people that care and are looking at it. And right now, I've had so many people that have come up to me that have said, hey, Jared, do you think we're going to lose James Neal? What's going to happen if we lose Neal? What about if we offer this? Like, I really feel like the fans, and I'm not just talking about the 17,000 diehard fans that go to the games on a day-in, day-out basis, but I really think the people in this town actually are into this expansion draft from the Predators' standpoint. outside the Predators, do they really care about Mark Methot getting taken from Ottawa? Probably not. But from the Predators' standpoint, I think people are really interested to see what happens. And then let's not forget, Dylan David Poile has the nickname Dylan David Poile for a reason. He is a great trader when it comes to making deals as a GM. Cali Järnkrok, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, etc. So they could make a trade tonight. And there hasn't been reports of them making a trade, but that doesn't mean that they can't make a trade. So I think that's on the table as well. That kind of adds to the interest level of what's going to happen to the Preds tonight.
Well, the part that would really be exciting is if you were a hockey fan in Vegas. I mean, because you would be sitting there watching your team be put together, formed right before your eyes. And I would think that would have to be a thrill just to go through that. And you know, they may know some of the players. I'm sure they won't know them all.
I'm not sure there's a whole lot of hockey fans in Vegas, though. Like when the Predators had the expansion draft, I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I was a Nashville sports fan, and I'm not sure I really cared.
Yeah,
at that
but
time.
I mean, they better hope there is. $500 million.
Well, you got to start, but you start from zero and then you build your fan base.
Yeah.
You think that Las Vegas is a thriving hockey market?
I didn't say that. I just think they're a fan. They've got to have some kind of fans there.
I don't think they have. I mean, you have to build
no
your
fans?
Fan base. Well, it's like how the Predators started selling season tickets at a kiosk at the Cool Springs Mall before there even was a team.
That's, I mean, I would have to hope in Las Vegas it's farther along than that.
I don't think it is.
For my money.
Why would
you think? You think they're selling tickets at a kiosk at down at the country store in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think they're trying to get people to buy tickets. Look, Las Vegas is not a thriving hockey market. Now, but here's the thing, like we learned here. If Las Vegas goes to the Stanley Cup final, the people in Las Vegas will probably care. So, to think that all of a sudden it's Calgary or, you know, Vancouver, it's just not, it's Las Vegas. I don't even know how much Las Vegas people are going to care about the Raiders. So, to that extent, I'm not sure that, I'm sure there's a handful or there are fans in Vegas who actually care about the team, and I'm sure there's 5,000, 3,000, however many thousand there are out there that actually do really love hockey and are going to say, okay, this is my team. But I don't think there's that many to where people are going to be so excited about every pick. I just think Preds fans right now are trying to figure out, you know, what's the deal on James Neal? Is James Neal leaving? Is James Neal staying? Are they going to take Sissons? What does that mean? And I think there's more people that have ever cared about that than before. And that's what makes tonight, in my mind, interesting. The award show, take it. The other teams, I actually care about that. I don't know how much everybody else does, but I do care about what the other teams do because of how it might affect the Preds. Take Chicago, for example. They're going to have to move around contracts because they're going to have to make a trade because they're so cap-strapped. And now it comes out that Marian Hossa's got a skin disorder and is out for next season. And I'm like, whoa, how does that affect the Preds? What's going to happen to Minnesota or St. Louis, or how does that affect the Preds? So there's a lot of different angles here, and I don't know. Call me crazy. I think the Preds fans care more than they've ever cared before because there's more of them that are now following this on a daily basis because they were so energized by the postseason run. And I think you're going to see that. I mean, that's how franchises are built. I'm sure more people cared about what the Titans did in free agency after going to the Super Bowl than they cared before when they became the Titans.
I would agree.
You don't care at all about this expansion draft,
I could care less.
You don't care about the expansion. Man, maybe you're the representation of the fan base that doesn't care.
I'm sure I'm not. I just don't.
Maybe I'm overestimating how much people care.
I think you really are. But beyond that, I think it really leaves a taste in my mouth that they're combining these two things.
Oh, it's completely disingenuous.
I mean, it's disingenuous, and I don't really want to see the awards. I am interested in the draft, but I'm not going to sit through, you know, three guys getting up and giving a speech and thanking mom and dad and my little sister for this trophy to see who they draft next. I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Yes, they do.
No, I'm with you. I think it's completely... I think the NHL should be ashamed of themselves for doing that. It's so disingenuous. And the NHL has put on this front like people actually care about NHL awards. I'm sorry. Just be glad that we all care about your games. Because the Stanley Cup playoffs were amazing. And people got into it, from Charles Barkley to the national TV ratings going up. And people are pumped about the games. But I don't even know half the awards. I know Norris Trophy is defense. I know Jack Adams is coach. I know Vezina is goalie. Is the Art Ross, is that the MVP?
I think that's the scoring one.
Oh, the scoring Hart, trophy.
Hart Trophy, I think, is the
is MVP. The MVP. Who's going to win MVP? Brady?
Who?
I just said Brady, but who's
Tom
actually?
Brady?
I mean, I don't... You know, I don't even care. I don't care. It's so disingenuous for the NHL to do that. But there is the expansion draft. Maybe it doesn't matter that much. I don't know. I think the people in this town actually care about it, especially as it pertains to Neil. So that's how we're going to start today. And I guess the question should be, what is the level of interest? Are you that excited because of the Predators playoff run that you're now so energized that you're following this thing almost to a T, to where you want to know exactly what's going to happen for the Predators tonight? Are they going to make a trade? Is James Neal going to go? Is Sisson's going to go? Is Auberg going to go? Or are you like the GM where you just kind of shrug it off and definitely don't want to watch the award show? We'll take your call. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And coming up next, we'll also get into whether or not the Preds can still get a deal done. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
These guys on the board, you think of James Neal, who scored, you know, who's a minimum 20-goal scorer on any team in any situation. Eric Staal, who had over 65 points last year. When you think of James Neal, you know, having him play with a guy like Shipachov, do you think that maybe at the trade deadline, the fact that he's on a $5 million deal for 1 year, do you think that you can get more assets for him? Do you think that if he plays well enough, perhaps you want to keep him around your young guys for the development of your team? This is a great situation to have. You know, this is a guy that perhaps didn't have the best of season, you know, maybe fell out of order or out of sync a little bit in Nashville this year. The fact that Forsberg, Arvidsson, and Johansson had all the attention, all the power play, they played so well together. But I think this is a guy that will score lots of goals for you for a very long time.
That was Alex Tanguay on the NHL Network about James Neal, who, of course, is one of the big names in the NHL expansion draft tonight. So, Floyd, to me, it seems pretty simple. And I've been trying to read tea leaves and all the insiders. Bob McKenzie, TSN in Canada, is an insider, and he tweeted out earlier today, I would expect James Neal of Nashville to be claimed by the Vegas Golden Knights in expansion draft, but it remains to be seen how long he's there. As in, it looks like someone is going to make a trade to get James Neal. And we heard some rumblings and grumblings earlier this week that it could be Toronto, or it could be Los Angeles, or it could be other teams that want to make a move for James Neal. But I guess as closer we get to it, the more it looks like James Neal's going to go, which would leave the only other option to be that the Nashville Predators make a trade in order to keep them from taking James Neal. And at that level, we've seen David Poile make a lot of trades, even in the last couple of years as GM of the Preds. Do we think they can actually make a trade? Do we think they can get a deal done?
I'm just judging from the GM in Las Vegas who said the trades are over. So I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if he's honest. I don't know if he's just trying to hurry people along and drum up business. I don't know.
But as a GM, are the trades ever over?
You know, unless somebody blows your socks off, probably not.
Which then,
you know, but I'll say this, if you've said that, I would have to think you would have to come in with even more than you would have had to come in with yesterday, for example, you know, simply because we're already moving along. I mean, at some point in time, they have to have a game plan going into this draft. And it sounds to me like they had six trades done yesterday, and we're hearing about some of this stuff now. You know, I heard that they had to get a draft choice to take Pittsburgh's goalie, and so, you know, they're working some deals where they're getting a little bit extra to take some of those big contracts off of, you know, off of different teams. So, I mean, it sounds like they've got some things they're working through. Anyway, it sounds positive.
I mean, I think they can make a deal. The question is, do they want to make a deal? And David Poile was asked about it yesterday, and he was talking about different things. And this is what he said to NHL.com, quote, "There's no question that we're going to lose a good player," which, by the way, that has been Poile's kind of line since we first asked him about it like 3 months ago. I believe it'll be a forward, and when that happens, we'll have a hole in our lineup. Poile then was later asked specifically about James Neal, and he basically gave him what I think to be the most classy no comment you could ever get. Tell me if this is not typical David Poile. He goes, quote, "I just don't think it serves me any good because, as far as you know, I might still be negotiating with George McPhee. I'm not trying to be evasive or anything, but it's still ongoing here." So David's basically saying, I can't answer your question because I might still be talking to Vegas, and it basically does me no good to talk to you about these things, so I'm not going to talk about them. And that's in the classiest David Poile sense. I think if David wants to keep James Neal, he'll find a way. The question is, how much do you want to keep him?
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, that's part of the question. But if that decision's been made, then it's always the cost. You know, at some point in time, it's just too expensive. And you have no choice but to give him up. But if you, you know, if you're going in there in your mind and you're saying, okay, I want to keep Neal, it's going to cost me, you know, a player and a draft choice, and you're willing to do that, that's fine. Now, if they turn around like they did with Pittsburgh, or supposedly did with Pittsburgh, and said, you know what, that's a $5 million contract, I need another draft choice or another player or whatever the case may be to take over that contract, then, you know, you're saying to yourself, it's not worth that, or yeah, it is worth that.
Well, they're not going to take, I mean, they're not, the Predators are not going to trade them anything extra to take James Neal. That I can guarantee you. If they take James Neal, it'll be them just taking James Neal. But that takes me to my other point. They may trade, like, the deal that I don't think the Predators can work this out, but a deal that would make sense is if they gave a lot of future assets, i.e. draft picks or young prospects, and got them to take Wilson or Smith. So, hey, you take Wilson and his $3.9 million cap hit and his consistent underachieving, which we have gotten accustomed to watching from Colin Wilson here in Nashville. You take that, and I'll give you a first-round pick. So now you're not taking Neal, and you're getting a first-round pick, and you're getting a guy who can play at times pretty well in Colin Wilson, but is certainly not going to score 20 goals every year like James Neal. But you're getting that draft pick. That I could see them doing. Or packaging Smith and Wilson together with prospects and picks in order to get them not to take Neal and to take those guys off their hands.
Well, that's more than Neal, though. You're back to three guys again.
I know, but this is me saying, you know, if you go to them and you say, okay, I'm going to trade you a first-round pick in Smith and you take Wilson, then you lose two guys in a first-round pick, but in my mind, you only lose the first-round pick because I don't think very much of Smith or Wilson.
No, well, they're probably going to be on the team next year or get – start with the team next year.
Unless you can get Vegas to take them. Yeah. I mean, that's about, I don't think very much of them. I mean, it's like Jason McCourty. Had someone called the Titans last year and said, hey, we'll give you a fourth-round pick for Jason McCourty, you know they would have said yes. The Titans would have said, yes, done, sold, take him. And that's how I feel about Smith and Wilson, you know, especially Wilson. But I wonder how creative David Poile's willing to get on this. And then the real question is, this is like any negotiation, okay? You go into it and you set your limit and you say, okay, just take money and you're negotiating a new contract for whatever job you do. You work at Floyd Reese's light gallery shop and you've got a lamp and I want to buy the lamp. And I go to you and I set my thing at $50 and I walk in there and say, all right, I'll buy that lamp for $30. And you say, well, it's worth 60, $35. Well, maybe I can go down. But if I've set my mind at $50, if you say I won't budge off of 50, then I just say, fine, you keep the lamp. And I think that's where Poile is with this trying to keep James Neal, is he's probably got in his head where he's willing to go. And if Vegas is not willing to take the furthest that he's willing to go, then James Neal's going to Las Vegas or going to wherever Las Vegas trades him to.
Yeah, I mean, I see one or two scenarios. One is you're going to have to give them something to keep James Neal, something legit. Or if they're worried about the contract, they're worried about the $5 million contract, they're going to take James and trade him to Chicago. They're going to take him and trade him to somebody else, Washington, you know, someplace where he'll go and fit in. And they've already talked to these clubs, and those clubs are willing to say, okay, we're going to give you, you know, X, Y, and Z, which are better than Wilson and Smith.
Most likely. I will say this, though. I don't think money and James Neal's $5 million for 1 year is that big of a deal when you realize that Vegas has to get to $50 million.
Right. But, I mean, for example, to take that goalie and that contract, they had to get a draft choice, according to reports.
So, this is also keeping them from taking any other of Pittsburgh's players. So Pittsburgh needs to get rid of Marc-Andre Fleury because they've got contracts on contracts. I mean, to have Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, and then all the young players they're eventually going to have to pay, the Beninos of the world, the, you know, Gensels, the Matt Murrays, et cetera, it's going to cost a lot of money. They want them to take Marc-Andre Fleury, and theoretically, Vegas cannot take Marc-Andre Fleury, and still really Pittsburgh is counting on them to take him, so you throw in a draft pick to make sure that they take him. But in that case, Neal's only signed for one more year, and you still have to get to $50 million. So I don't look at James Neal's contract as a deterrent at all. Somebody told me the best contracts are one-year deals because you can never screw them up. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I'm sure you can probably, if you give somebody $30 million on a one-year contract and they suck, you can probably, you know, screw that up in some sport. But generally speaking, as a GM, you have to feel pretty good about one-year contracts.
Well, yeah, but you don't feel good about $5 million. I mean, I wouldn't.
$5 million in a world where Smith makes 4.2?
And what?
Craig Smith makes 4.2, and you're going to worry about $5 million when you've got to get to $50 million?
But I don't want Smith or Wilson either.
No, I'm just saying, though, like it's not like it's not like James Neal at $5 million is just out of control crazy. It's not.
Well, no, but you might be. You don't know. Again, I mean, there may be 10 guys out there that they view as equal or maybe younger or whatever at a Yarncroc type contract, $2 million over the next 5 years. You know, they're looking at that and they go, now, wait a minute, you know, which way do you want to go with this? So that's where it gets interesting in my mind.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are going to take a little bit of break on the Preds, and we will get into something with the Titans, because the Titans – a lot of people in the media are feeling pretty good about the Titans. I wonder, though, how the teams in the league feel about the Titans. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show. Tons of stuff to get into. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, to join us in about 15 minutes. You're listening to Jared and the GM live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. So, Eric Decker to the Titans has probably been the biggest story in the NFL this week, although Derek Carr is about to get a contract extension, and that is significantly more important than Eric Decker, but that hasn't actually happened yet. So as of right now, Eric Decker to the Titans, biggest story in the NFL this week, right?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so we hear a lot of good things from people in the media about the Titans. Field Yates at ESPN fawns over them. Peter King has them ranked as the fourth best team in the NFL. The media seems, at least nationally, seems to really respect and like what the Titans are doing. What do you think the other teams in the league are thinking about right now with Tennessee? Like, if you're in Indianapolis, what do you look at when you see Tennessee? If you're Houston, if you're Baltimore, Pittsburgh, teams that might play the Titans, what do you think right now when you look at the Titans going into next season?
Well, I'm sure that the number one thing you're looking at is,
are they scared?
Is the quarterback.
Are they scared?
And you're saying,
not scared.
Is the quarterback going to improve that much? Is he going to stay healthy? Is he, you know, all of those things. And you're probably saying to yourself, if in fact the quarterback does, you know, break out, then they're going to have a chance to be pretty darn good. If he's just, you know, on kind of a general improvement, little bit by little bit type program, then, you know, they're going to be competitive, strongly competitive, you know. So I think this is what's hard. And we're going to talk about this in a while, but this is one of the things that you run into when your team gets really good really fast. And I didn't do a good job of this with the Titans, but this is what you have to do. You have to determine if, in fact, it's that your team is really good, or did you luck through a few things? Did you win a game here that maybe you shouldn't have won, but you won it anyway? You know, a la the Music City Miracle. You know, did you...
Kansas City last year on the road.
Did you win a few games along the way that, you know, you can look back at and you can say, geez, we probably shouldn't have won that game, but we did. And if you can't keep track of those things, and if you don't, then all of a sudden, you know, you're in a situation where you said, okay, last year we won X number of games, so this year we ought to win two or three more. When in fact, you're probably going to drop. You know, you may not win as many as you did last year. And so I think that's the really, really hard part here.
Why? How are you not good about that with the Titans?
What do you mean?
Well, you said that you probably weren't good enough about that when you were GM of the Titans, but there's nothing in my mind that would suggest to that. I mean, the Titans were fairly competitive when you were the GM of the team.
Yeah, but I think after the Super Bowl year, I mean, in our minds, we were there. Okay, we're going for it now. We're gonna beat Pittsburgh. We're gonna win three in a row. We're gonna win three over 5 years.
You were the best team in the NFL the next season.
I know, but it's still. I think if you look back at it and you say, you know, maybe we weren't quite as good as we thought, and maybe if we would have taken another year or two and you know, tried to put it together a little bit more, maybe we would have been better for the long haul. I think those are the kind of things that are really, really hard to analyze because you really have to be self-critical. You know, you have to sit down and say, hey, we're not as good as that team we just beat. We all know we're not as good, but we beat them. And so be happy about that.
See, I just look at it in the Titans. To me, it was a five-year window. In the five-year window, it was two Hall of Fame quarterbacks that beat you, and turnovers. You turn the ball over against Baltimore, lose to them. Turn the ball over against the Raiders, lose to them. But the Kurt Warner and Tom Brady beat you. I mean, I really liked, as a fan growing up, yeah, everybody loved the team that went to the Super Bowl. I loved the 2003 team that lost at New England in the divisional round that had Kevin Carter and every top-end running back that you guys played that year. There was Edgerrin James and Fred Taylor and Ricky Williams, and every week there was this new top running back, and they were held to 37 yards on 18 carries against the Titans. Loved it. Okay, so let's go back to last year then with the fluky – let's just call them fluky wins. You know, the ones where you won and you felt good because you won, but I think certainly we have to put number one on the list at Kansas City, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Denver, Kansas City, Jacksonville, 3 weeks in a row, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to step back and really analyze that.
But let's just talk about the wins, for example.
Okay.
So let's start with Kansas City. That, to me, was kind of a fluky win. If Andy Reid doesn't call timeout, you lose. So it was a good team win that they stuck with it and they fought till the end and they kicked the field goal, but fluky win. Also, if, you know, Kansas City had just kept giving the ball to Tyreek Hill, they probably would have won the game. At Chicago, completely fluky win. They dropped like 9 touchdowns in that game.
Right.
The Titans were terrible against Chicago and still found a way to win.
Right. But in fact, I think you can look back and you can say, but we should have beat Chicago. Now, did we play good? No, we did not.
Oh, it was an ugly game.
Yeah, it was ugly.
But it still has to go on the list.
Yeah.
Another one I have to put on the list, at Detroit, the second game of the year, Andre Johnson makes that great catch. Marcus makes a great throw at the end. But at one point in the third quarter, Detroit had like 3 touchdowns called back
right
on offensive penalties. That, if Detroit scores a touchdown, they blow the game wide open and you lose. So now we're at 3. You won 9 games last year. So you got 3 fluky wins, a fourth that essentially doesn't count against the Texans the last week because, you know, everything had been set then. So now you're at 4. So now you're at 4 fluky wins in a 9-win season. That means, in my mind, you can feel good about Jacksonville at home, Denver at home, Green Bay at home. Just going down the list, Cleveland, although Hugh Jackson totally screwed that up by going for 2 late in the game. At Miami was a good win. I mean, it's really hard looking at the Titans' schedule to say, okay, you know, how many wins last year should you feel good about going into this year? And you bring up a good point. I mean, there's a lot of fluky wins there, and I wonder what how that's going to affect the 2017 Titans.
Well, I think it serves to really have a try to get some kind of foundation and a feeling for where you're going this year. You know, I mean, everybody's going to say, well, we won 9 last year, we should jump out and win 11.
Winning, which is kind of how I feel.
Winning 11 games in the NFL is really hard now.
I think they should go 10-6.
Really hard. You know, losses last year, the other side of the coin, how many losses last year were flukes?
You want to go over
we
that?
We should have never lost to Jacksonville.
Minnesota at home, you turned the ball over twice for 14 points.
San Diego.
Oakland at home.
With the penalty.
Lawan jumps into the guy.
Yeah.
At Houston, punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Special teams coach fired the next day. Going through, I don't know, they probably should have lost both Indianapolis games, although I thought they had the better team. At San Diego, that was a total debacle. And then as you brought up at Jacksonville, I mean, really for the most part last season, every game came right down to the wire. The question is, are the players that you've acquired and the moves that you made, is that enough so that those right down to the wires are not going to be right down to the wires next year? And that's a fair question to have.
And that's a fair question. And I think it's like you said before, we're you know, other team as we go through this, I mean, every team in the league is doing essentially the same thing. And if you're Kansas City, you're saying to yourself, we should have never lost that game.
Andy essentially said that to us at the combine.
Yeah, we should have, you know, this should have happened and that should have happened and should have called a timeout and we would have won and, you know, on and on. So, I mean, you go through that every year. And I think when you look at this team, I mean, I think, you know, you increase, you go plus six, you go from 3 wins to 9 wins. I mean, that is very, very unusual. Very unusual. Was this team that much better than the team was 2 years ago? I mean, we'd like to think at least there were parts of it that were that much better. So, I mean, I think that's a positive. But to think the same team is going to go from 3 wins to 9 wins to 11 wins, I think that's a little bit of a leap.
I think they'll win 10 games next year and win the division. But once again, you and Chris Sanders, our next guest, both disagree with me in that regard. But we will ask Chris, as a former player, how he thinks players around the league are looking at the Titans and much, much more. Hey, join Jason Fitz at the Electronic Express in Clarksville at 2819 Wilma Rudolph Boulevard this Saturday from 1 to 3. It's the Electronic Express famous half-price fair and huge tent sale going on now in Clarksville. Save up to 50% in every department while supplies last. Electronic Express, we make it happen. And when we introduce Chris, we'll give something away. That's all coming up next on Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm a man of my word, as I always say, or at least maybe I can get some people to believe. And I said I'd give something away, and now I am. Caller 5 at 615-737-1025. I want a pair of tickets to the Music City Fit Expo at Rocket Town on Saturday, July 15th. That's 615-737-1025. So we're wondering, how do teams around the league look at the Titans? Now that Eric Decker is in the mix, now that, you know, there's some more names you know, the team played well last year on the cusp of the playoffs. Marcus Mariota enters year 3. And with that, we bring in a former player. Our man, Chris Sanders, joins us now on the show. Chris, if you were a player on on another team in the NFL right now, let's say you played for the Ravens.
Colts.
Okay, you play for the Colts. How would you look at the Tennessee Titans entering 2017?
You know what? I would take notice. I mean, you know they got a good running game, and they added some key pieces, some big-time wide receivers. But if I'm the Colts or the Houston Texans, I would be worried a little bit, but not as much because, you know, you really haven't beat me in a while. So I would kind of look at it that way. I know they got some key players and they got some pieces that can actually take them to the next level. But until they win the division and until they start beating those big-time teams, if I'm on another team, I wouldn't be worried.
In that sense, what does Eric Decker do? I mean, I know you're a former wide receiver.
Right.
Last week you came on and said, you know, it'd be a nice fit kind of thing. But now that we know Eric Decker is a member of the Titans. What was your reaction when that came down the pipe?
You know what? I was really excited because he's one of those guys that can move the chains. When I say move the chains, when it's 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, he's one of those guys that can get to the first down mark and make that big time catch. And another thing that he brings to the table, he's a matchup nightmare because he's going to be the number two receiver in the slot. So he's going to create those matchups to where it's going to help Mariota not throw the ball in the wrong place, but have a guy he can go to in a big time situation.
Chris, Eric's going to be in a unique situation here because he's used to being a one or a two, and he's going to come here and if things work out
right,
he's going to be a three or a four or something down the line a little bit. Does that affect his performance? Is it going to be harder for him to perform at the top of the line in that, you're not getting maybe as many practice reps as you want and you're not going, running on the field every snap?
Floyd, I hate to go back to 1999, but just a perfect example. That year we kept 7 receivers. Everybody knows Derek Mason was probably one of the best receivers to ever come out of, the Tennessee Titans. But in that year, he was the 6th receiver on the depth chart. And he never complained. He just know his role. So when Decker comes in here, he's got to be a Derek Mason in 1999. He just got to know his role. And when he gets in the game, make those plays that he's capable of making. I just think that you have a whole bunch of talented wide receivers. You have guys that can make plays. But if they're ever going to get to the next level and they're ever going to beat those big teams, you got to have unselfishness. And if you have unselfish players that want to compete, that want to win and want to do great things, then now you have something special. But if he comes in here, which I don't think he will, come in here and say, I demand the ball, I want to be the number one receiver, then those are the kind of guys you don't want in the locker room. But I just feel, just listening to his interviews and just kind of getting the feeling how he played when he played with the Jets, he's the kind of guy that's going to come in and say, whatever you want me to do, if you want me to just move the chains and I go out, then I'm going to be that kind of player to help the Tennessee Titans get to where we need to get to.
How is the most efficient way to work practice? Because you've got two rookies. And now he's coming in who's not a rookie but certainly doesn't know the system.
Yeah.
I mean, how you work reps and, the formations and different positions is going to be hard.
I have no idea, but I'm telling you, Robiski is going to have to earn his money. I'm telling you, because you got a whole bunch of talented guys. You got Eric Decker, Corey Davis, Taywan Taylor, Matthews, Delaney Walker, Henry, just a whole slew of guys. And I just think the key is you're going to have to put guys in position to make plays. And I just think that whatever position that they put them in, they just got to go out there and do it. Because, there's going to be times where it's going to be Eric Decker in the game and Corey Davis. What about Taywan Taylor? So I just think that if these guys just unselfish and learn from each other in camp, then I think you can build something special. If you have to play Z, I play Z. If I have to play X, H, or whatever position that you put you in, master that position and also learn other positions. So if you have to play a different position, you can be successful at every position.
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is our guest right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I lost my mind on Friday, Chris, because there was an article in the paper in which players were asked about voluntary workouts. And a couple of the guys, most of the guys, I think, said the right things. A couple of the guys kind of brought up the fact that, well, it's not really voluntary, and I'm not sure we have to be here, and I'm paraphrasing that, but I lost my mind on it, and of all the things that I've ever lost my mind on, the GM did not, I think, have any qualms with me losing my mind about that. As a former Titan, what do you make of Titans talking about voluntary workouts kind of with that backhandedness of, well, it's not really voluntary?
Listen, I think it was in 2002, when I hurt my back and my career was over. I wish I could have played another down because I absolutely love the game. I love to compete. I love to catch balls. I love to catch the jug machine. I love to be around the players. If I'm a professional and I love the game, the GM or the head coach, they don't have to say voluntary. If they say I need to be there, then I'm going to be there. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. If I have to go to school, I'll go to school later and make sure I get my degree. But if I'm a professional and I'm supposed to be there, they don't even have to say voluntary. They say if you want to be there, you don't have to be there. But if I want to be great, if I want to do great things, and I'm going to do what I do, to be there. You know, just like I was looking at a story on ESPN and they was talking about Jerry Rice. They said after the Super Bowl, this is after the Super Bowl, after they won, he's outside running routes. The reason why he's running routes is because he wants to be the best and he loves the game. So if the offensive coordinator or whoever says, I need you to be here as a professional and me loving the game, you better believe your bottom dollar, I'm going to be there. Why? Because I absolutely love the game.
Talking about Derek Carr and $25 million a year.
Well, I just want a dollar.
What
just
are you thinking about that?
Hey, Floyd, listen, hey, would you go be a general manager and bring me on and sign me to a big contract?
You would love that, wouldn't you?
Hey, I want to. Hey, just for that, I might come out of retirement just to run two routes, a hitch in a bubble, and sign for $22 million. I'll do it for you.
That is pretty incredible. Chris Sanders is our guest. Last one before we get you out of here.
Yes,
the expansion draft is tonight in hockey.
Yes.
And the reason I bring this your way is because obviously your contract situation and injury situation led you to be on the expansion list when the Houston Texans were picking. And so just tell us what that's like to be on that list and to be wondering if you're going to get picked in an expansion draft.
Oh, I mean, you just got to handle it. I mean, if your name is on there or, you know, you have to go to a different team, I mean, you just got to handle it as a professional. When I got released and went to the Cleveland Browns, yes, I was hurt and yes, I was upset. But I just have to understand that this is a business and there's no hard feelings. And I love Floyd to this day, but he had to make a business deal that was going to help the team. And, you know, I wasn't playing up to par and doing the things that I'm supposed to do in the salary cap, but it's a business. You know, and Floyd and Tennessee Titans looked and said, you know what, we're just going to go a different route. And I just had to handle it as a professional and say, you know what, if I have to go to Cleveland, I'll never go there again. But if I have to go to Cleveland, it was horrible. I'll do it again because it's just a business. That's all it is. That's how you got to look at it.
Chris, we appreciate it as always.
Appreciate
we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye. See you, Chris.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.
Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. He apparently takes getting released by you a lot better than Derek did. Derek held a 10-year grudge or however long grudge with you in that regard. That must have killed you to let Chris Sanders go.
Oh, I mean, Derek and Chris, I mean, two of the nicest guys you've ever been around. Great football players. I mean, and to have to go through that with them, I mean, it was a nightmare.
Because it's easy to cut a guy who you don't really like, and it's easy to cut a guy who's not good. You know, hey, you're just not cutting it anymore, Jimmy. You got to go. Thing with Chris is, hey, you're making too much money, and I'm up against the cap, and that's how this works.
Yeah, they're guys you know that can play, and guys that are just a delight, and guys you want to have in the locker room, and you want to have them part of the team. And when you have to let those guys go, it hurts now.
Which was the toughest release of your Titans career?
Oh,
that was a cap related.
Yeah, it's a long, distinguished list. I mean, they're all hard.
But is there not one in particular that stands out, like Lorenzo Neal? Or
we had all the part that made all those things hard. I mean, Lorenzo Neal. I don't know if you know a little, but he's a fantastic guy. Eddie George, fantastic guy.
Oh, I guess Eddie would have to be to the top of the cuts. That would be tough.
I mean, all of those guys, not only were they good football players, but they're guys you wanted to be around. You know, in the locker room, guys wanted to be around them.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we know the expansion draft's tonight, but the offseason for the Predators pretty much starts after that. And here's the question. Do the Preds need to go for it? Do they need to put all the chips in the center this offseason? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.